The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Garden was on fire at the start, but then the New York Knicks looked in a world of trouble.
Bogdanovich rattles another one home.
They were down 15. They looked to be nosediving.
Oh, long-range three from Trae Young.
But then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Julius Randle made a few shots.
Here's Randle for three. He got it.
Reggie Bullock started making shots.
To tie with a three-block will oblige. Oh, it's down.
Tom Thibodeau decided to start Derrick Rose in the second half.
Rose recovers and scores.
And guess what? Because of that, we hit it. New York Knicks handling their business. Game two, series tied. 1-1. We coming to the ATL. Give it to me. We here.
Know what that was like. Is that like a 21st birthday, a bachelor party? I mean, the level of excitement.
It's so pathetic. You feel
like, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. He was in his element. Did you see how happy he was? But, it was like the best day of his life, surrounded by New York. Look at him.
Just by getting lucky to salvage a split at home in the first round against the lower seed.
It is so.
What's up, Molly?
It is so
What's
sad.
Up, Molly?
And he was
What's
tweeting.
Going on, Max?
And this is the first half. He's a nervous wreck. You know that.
How y'all doing?
Are you trying to talk? I can't hear you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Unfortunately, yes, I can. How are you feeling this
What's
morning,
going on, Molly?
Stephen A?
Good morning to the lovely Molly. Max, what's up, my brother? How you doing, my man? How you doing?
Looking in a good mood.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Listen, just for the record, normally on a perfect day like today, okay? Mm. I mean, with us being in New York City, South Street, Seaport, and the whole bit, that's where I normally be, you know. But, you know, the CEO of Walt Disney is in the house in Bristol, Connecticut, and the man wanted to see me, so that's why I'm here. But I wanted y'all to know.
Let me tell you
Excuse me.
I thought you were in the doghouse after that dog fight. I didn't know the big boss is called.
Stephen A was supposed to be here. And then about around halftime, he's like, let me be in Bristol tomorrow.
You know what? You're right, Max.
I
was very nervous.
From the Twitter.
I was very nervous.
I see you. All right, let's go. You guys know what it was. It was a dogfight, that's for sure. But the Knicks take game two. The series is now split as it shifts to Atlanta on Friday. Don't worry, Stephen A will be in Atlanta too with all the Georgia peaches. Vintage Derrick Rose and Julius Randle on the boards. Talk to me, young fella.
Did you ever doubt this team tonight or thus far in this series, or did you just feel it was a matter of time to find your footing?
Never doubted. Obviously, throughout the game, you know, there's going to be frustrations, but, you know, who we are as a team, we're never going to doubt whether we can win a game or not. You know, a lot of guys came in the locker room at half and said we've been in this position before, and we have. So it was just up to us to change it. Our intensity level went to another level. And we were able to pull out the win.
All right. I mean, I don't want to damper this celebratory mood after an opening round win. But Stephen A., was it a lucky one for your New York Knickerbockers?
Luck! Luck! Please! What luck? Is the New York Knicks standing up? It was New York City standing up. It was the crowd that had descended upon Madison Square Garden, 16,000 strong, rabid, hyped, ready to roll, that propelled this New York Knicks team to a victory in game two. Now, first half, it didn't look that way. I even tweeted how nervous I was. Julius Randle couldn't buy a basket to save his life. Now, it was a beautiful, beautiful scene to open the game. I mean, when he was there to receive the Most Improved NBA Player of the Year award, and his beautiful, beautiful son was there with them, along with Leon Rose, along with William Wesley, Worldwide West, along with Scott Perry. It was a beautiful, beautiful scene. It touched all of our hearts. But then Julius Randle came out there and couldn't buy a damn basket. For for the first half, and we were very, very nervous because Trae Young, that little miniature stud, was putting on an absolute show. No question about it in that second quarter. But then the second half arrived. Tom Thibodeau went into that locker room. He said, get it together. It's about the 6 inches in front of your face. I'm using a football example from Any Given Sunday, but you know what the hell I'm trying to say. He was trying to motivate them to galvanize the troops. So what
any
happened?
Given
all
Wednesday.
Of a sudden, Julius Randle starts hitting shots. All of a sudden, Reggie Bullock showed up, and he started draining shots. And that man, Derrick Rose, I'm almost getting tears in my eyes just thinking about Derrick Rose. I'm so proud of that man right now, the way that he's balling, the way that he is leading. Tom Thibodeau making the move to bench Elfrid Payton finally and start Derrick Rose in the second half. Obi Toppin ignited the crowd. Everybody, a collective effort, and that's what you saw. And then you saw the defense clamp down, the way a Tom Thibodeau defense can clap down, and then suddenly the Atlanta Hawks couldn't buy a basket. Trae Young was on lockdown. Collins was on lockdown. Hunter was on lockdown. They couldn't do anything. And as a result, the New York Knicks have now tied this series 1-1 because the fans, led by Spike Lee and the crew, obviously galvanized the troops. You should have been in there, Molly and Max. You should have been inside that arena. It was rocking. We ain't heard the Garden like that in decades. It was that special, Max.
I should have been to upgrade it.
I had my hair standing up. It was that special, okay? But now, we move forward to the ATL. We coming. We coming down to ATL. New York's in the building. State Farm Arena. We coming. We here. Watch. Game 3. We coming.
Of course the Knicks got lucky. And all Knicks fans know you got lucky last night, Stephen A. First
Please.
Of all, before I even get into that, this is
not luck.
I feel like you, when you talk about Dallas Cowboys fans, it's nauseating. And I was once one of you. Before I finally said I had it with Jim Dolan, let me tell you what you're celebrating right now. You know why it hasn't been that loud in decades? Because when was the last time the Knicks won a single playoff game in 8 years?
8 years. I agree.
Yo, all that just happened is the Knicks got lucky to escape home court with a split to a lower seed. And you're celebrating like you just did something. Like you just won the championship. Stephen A., you think Bogdanovich is going to go 2 of 13 from 3 again?
He might.
This is an easy team to root for, this Knicks team. The players themselves, you got to love D. Rose. You got to love Randall. All these dudes. Bullock was great. You got, just quickly, all these guys, they're easy to root for. That wasn't Knicks defense in the second half. Come on, man. Atlanta was just missing wide open shots. Look at
because
all these shots.
Because there wasn't Trae Young shooting them.
So let me tell you something. Bogdanovich is a sharpshooter. He couldn't buy a bucket.
He can't be.
Wide open looks. You want to see the difference between the Hawks' shooting percentage in the first half and the second half?
Because of that defense. Because of that defense.
28% from the field instead of 46% from the field. Look at the assist to turnover. Because of the Knicks' defense. Do we have some B-roll where I can show you some of the Knicks' defense, supposed defense, that Stephen A. is referring to? The Hawks were just missing, Stephen A. They got a lot of good looks, a lot of them. Trust me, Bogdanovich is not going to 13 from downtown again in this series. I'm happy for the Knicks. I'm happy for you. Open look. Just tell me where you see a really difficult shot. Open, missed it. Show me. Wide open. Hits that shot all the time.
That's a misrepresentation.
Okay, wide open.
A lot of their shots were contested. That was a contested shot.
It was a contested shot just there by Gibson.
Because there's been a lot of contested shots last night.
Some of them were contested. Dude, just because someone's running like this with a hand up,
well,
he doesn't get there in time,
you can't
that's
shoot.
Not contested.
But that's true. If somebody's running at
although
you,
I saw you
that
against
could
Harden
be an impediment.
Too. Time out. I saw you against Harden. You were in dress shoes and everything.
That's true.
You know, that was a setup. That, you know what? I happen to love James Harden. That's the only time I've ever disliked him. Since you're going to bring that up, Molly, I was in a shirt and tie, as you can see.
Yeah.
And I came there to do an interview with Harden when he was in Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl was in Houston for Super Bowl week. And Harden said, I'll be damned if I'm going to do an interview with you until you shoot these threes and you ain't warming up because you talk too much smack to be needing a warm-up. Get out there and shoot from three right now. And obviously, I was cold, and it hurt me bad. So I shot one for 15. It was horrible. Yeah.
I heard that's where they came up with the name Brick on the soap opera, Stephen A.
It might be. It might be.
Listen, it is unfair. He did get set up by Harden, but that's not the point.
I deserved it, though. I deserved it.
Those were not, even when they were contested, they weren't well contested. Dude, those were very makeable shots, and they missed an inordinate number of them in the second half. I didn't even feel like it was fatigue. The Knicks caught a break when Atlanta shooting went cold, or else you're down 0-2 heading to Atlanta.
You're ridiculous. I should sick baby Stephen A. on you. I really should, because this is just ridiculous drivel that's coming out of your mouth. But I will tell you, I want to tell you another thing that before we end this segment, because I want to put this on record right now.
Oh,
right,
please, because I got a juicy topic we got to get to.
I want to put it out on Front Street.
What?
You saw those fans outside last night.
Mm-hmm.
Off of one playoff win, their first playoff win in 8 years, as Max pointed out. You know what that showed me?
What?
That showed me how much of a mistake Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving made by choosing Brooklyn. Could you imagine, Max, if they were at the Garden,
it'd be
like that every night.
It's going to be like that by the end of this season.
No, that's fair,
these
Stephen A.
These dudes would be off the charts.
First rational point you've
not
made all morning.
It's going to be like that for the Nets.
The entire state.
All right.
In another series, everyone's going to have forgotten the Knicks. They're going to be gone, and the Nets are going to be steamrolling
the
league.
Gotta
it's going to be like that.
We're going to get into the Knicks later. Let's keep it rolling, because not everything was good with the fans, people. Fans finally back in the stands, and some of them don't know how to act. The fan disrespect was particularly bad last night during playoff games in New York and Philadelphia. A New York fan appeared to spit at Trae Young, the ultimate sign of disrespect, and a Philly fan dumped popcorn on an injured Russell Westbrook.
They want to come up, a guy went down the street, poured popcorn on my head. You know what happened? A guy went to come up to me, probably asking about my kids, family on the street. The response will be different. In these arenas, you gotta start protecting the players, man. You know, we'll see what the NBA does.
All right. LeBron James echoing that sentiment, tweeting this. By the way, we as the players want to see who threw that popcorn on Russ. There's cameras everywhere. While he was leaving the game tonight with an injury, there are cameras all over arenas. So there's no excuse, because if the shoe was on the other foot, hashtag protect our players. Stephen A.
Yeah.
How should the NBA respond to this?
They should come down incredibly harsh on that fan. They should ban him at least for the entire 2021-2022 season. That's a first offense. A second offense, he should be banned for life. We can't tolerate this. Russell Westbrook is absolutely right. LeBron James is 1,000% right, especially with the point that what if it were the other way around? What if the shoe was on the other foot? He's absolutely positively on the money. Let's call it what it is. Russell Westbrook, we're not condoning violence. We're not advocating it by any stretch of the imagination. But if Russell Westbrook had been able to get to that dude and put his hands on him, I'm sorry. Would he have not been justified? I think he would have been. Again, we're not advocating that, because obviously, you know, that brings a whole different connotation to the equation. But nevertheless, that's the point that we're talking to here. The fact that people feel that they can do anything they want. The primary reason they feel that way is because they don't have to worry about any repercussions, any ramifications for literally throwing something on another player, putting your, you know, figuratively speaking, putting your hands on them, because that's essentially what you did by throwing something on them. You have no right to do that. You can boo all you want to, but you have no right to do that. We've seen these kind of actions before. We've seen the woman in Atlanta going after LeBron James. We've seen the older white individual sticking up both middle fingers at Russell Westbrook. At the New York Knicks game last night, I had no idea until this morning, somebody actually spit over 50 Cent sitting courtside and spit on Trae Young. That is inexcusable.
Still in a pandemic. We're still in a pandemic.
Now, that person should be arrested. That person right there should be arrested. Make no mistake about it. So the NBA definitely needs to come down heavily on them. But I think the media can also get involved in policing this kind of situation with this. Put the person's name on television. Put
put their face on television. Treat it like a mugshot. Put them on the Jumbotron at the game. Make sure you embarrass and humiliate and publicize who the hell they are. Shame them just like you would do a player. If a player did something like this, they'd be plastered all over the media. They'd be plastered all over television and the like. How come we can't do that to the fans that engage in such insidious behavior? Publicize them, humiliate them, embarrass them, shame them, and in some cases, arrest them and put them in jail. Look, I'm all for it.
Look, you keep talking about what the arena should do. Just because you buy a ticket to a sporting event doesn't mean as you enter the arena, you exit civilization. You still exist in civilization. And laws of civility, act like rules and then actual laws of civility, are there for everybody. Now, Russell Westbrook is talking about what would happen in the street if he came up to him and dumped popcorn on him. Stephen A., I see that as no different than putting your hands on somebody. You can't violate somebody like that physically. Middle finger, to me, that's a gray area. I don't know. I have to think about that. But you physically assault somebody, oh, popcorn is light and everything, stop. But if he smacked that dude in the face, that wouldn't cause any permanent damage either, right? So Russell Westbrook's talking about what would happen in the street. But let me tell you what should happen in the street if we behave like adults. Get arrested. You can't because that's physically violating somebody. No, I forget about just like what the sporting or what the arena should do. Westbrook should press charges. There should be some kind of criminal consequence. Mike Tyson touched on this when he said what you alluded to, Stephen A., and he was talking about the media. You know why the media talks wild sometimes? Because no one gets punched in the mouth, right? But and with social media, that involves just basically practically the whole world. But there are consequences like that, realistically, what's going to happen if you violate somebody. And then there's also what should happen. You spit on somebody, and you do it in public. There are cameras, as LeBron said. Put the cameras on them. Find out who it is. There should be a consequence. You dump something on someone's head, there should be a consequence for that, too. A ticket to an arena is not an exit from civilization. And by the way, those laws of civility are there to protect people who need them, right? In other words, the dude who dumps the popcorn, yeah. I'll bet you if Westbrook came at him, he'd be looking for someone to enforce the rules of civility then.
Let me get in here for a second, because the other thing that irks me is have a little class. The man is injured. He's playing his heart out. It's a playoff game. And you're dumping popcorn on him. And as far as arrest, if it's simple assault for throwing something at somebody once, so he should be arrested with the popcorn. And it's battery for spitting on someone. So they both should be arrested. And I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. Why is it always white guys to black men? It makes me uncomfortable. And I hate seeing it. And it's continuing to happen. When all these instances, when we're going back to what happened with Russ at Utah or the incident that happened with Isaiah Thomas in Philly, it's always white guys with black men. And it's just not okay.
Well, it's definitely not okay. And I think, you know, what Max was alluding to and my man Champ just texted me about a few minutes ago, I'm going to modify my position just a touch. One and you're done. You should be banned from NBA arenas. I think that's what Max is saying to some degree. Listening to you, Molly, I think that's where you're coming from outside of obviously being arrested. And the more I think about it, you know what? No second chance. Because, again, in a civilized society, we actually do know better already. And the fact that you're doing it is only because you think you can. Now, when Mike Tyson talks about, you know, media people and, you know, because they can't get punched in the face, I want to be clear. Mike Tyson is talking about people who calling you out your name and doing some of the things that they would never do. He's not talking about people critiquing his fight game and whether or not he'd lose to Lennox Lewis or Roy Jones or somebody. He's talking about the excessive stuff that people engage in outside of the ring, and he's absolutely right about that. And I think that these players, you got too many people that can be sensitive, and their definition of people coming at them is people criticizing their game, and that's ridiculous, which is something I'll get into later. But I will tell you that as it pertains to this particular instance, stuff like this, I agree with Max. I agree with my man Champ. One and done. No second chances. You should be banned from NBA arenas for life. It's gotten to the point where we got to put a stop to all of this because it's wrong.
the Mike Tyson stuff. Mike Tyson, when I was first on ESPN in the late 90s, stepped to me at a fight once and said, why are you talking all this stuff? This is Mike Tyson, right? Going back 20-something years. And I was like, Mike, I'm criticizing, you know, or complimenting, whatever, but doing being critical of the fight game. He's like, yeah, but then there's all this personal stuff. And, you know, told him, look, it's in the news. We're going to comment on it. I'm not looking to bring it up. But if it, Mike Tyson's not unreasonable that way. Mike Tyson, back then, Stephen A., who was, you know, will even tell you now, was, you know, not stable back then, understood it okay. Most athletes get it, even if they don't like it, they're bitter about criticism or anything. They're not taking it to the next level. It's the fans who are doing it. The fans think it's okay to assault athletes.
It's not okay.
And Molly's point is a very interesting one.
Yeah. You see the optics. You see the visuals. Again, simple assault for throwing something, battery for spitting at someone. And I'm sorry, that is the ultimate sign of disrespect. Don't do that to anybody. Grow up.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
In less than a year, Carson Wentz has gone from being the face of the Philadelphia Eagles to being benched, to being traded to the Colts, to facing questions on whether he can be fixed so that he can become the player he once was. Oh, how things have changed since the Wentzylvania days for the number 2 overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft. Here's what he's eating these days.
I feel great. Obviously, everything is still new. So just being in here these last couple weeks has been nice just to get, A, used to the building, used to, you know, all of the routines that go along with practice and everything, but just getting to know the guys. You know, obviously there's, I'm not the only new guy in the locker room every year. There's some moving pieces and stuff. So, but everyone's been awesome, been super welcoming and embracing. And
humble pie doesn't taste good, but it's good for you. It's good for you. And so it's a chance for him to acknowledge that I got to hit the reset button. I got a fresh start here, and his attitude couldn't be better. He's a great team player. He's coming in with the right attitude of wanting to do his part. I believe he's going to do that. I believe he's going to have an incredible year and be a great leader and a great player for this team.
Listen, we all know what it's like to eat humble pie. Hopefully you grow from it. I tried it. Look who's here in front of the baby grand, my guy, Damian Woody, Super Bowl champ, on your screen. Top of the morning to you, sir. You know I'm not starting with you, though.
Molly, hold up. Molly,
oh, okay.
Molly, before you get into, before we talk about Carson Wentz, I gotta holler at Stephen A. real quick, man, because, you know, I've been kicking my feet up here at the Palatial Estate. You know, I watch you guys every day.
Rich
and I gotta
problem.
Tell you, man, I am so sick and tired of Stephen A. and these orange and blue skies mess, all of this huffing and puffing
we
about
here.
The Knicks every day.
We here.
I haven't heard anything like this in all my times at ESPN, and now you want to come out here
we
all
here.
Swollen in the chest
talking
about
here.
These Knicks. Right?
We here.
What is this all about?
Yeah,
what is this all about?
It's years, nearly
50 years of suffering, especially over the last 20. When you have that level of palpable suffering to lean on, and then you get some light after living in and being swallowed by perpetual darkness, where it seemed no end in sight, where you got traitors that are working across the table from you every day, like Max Kellerman had just disassociated himself from the state because of how bad the New York Knicks were. Okay, when it's that bad, and then all of a sudden, a level of light comes seeping through, it just has this profoundly beautiful effect.
You're
that
so it's dramatic. Just hard this to sounds explain, like a Bible man. Verse it's right now, coming from the darkness to
orange
the light.
Orange and blue skies, baby. Orange and blue skies. Okay. That's what it is.
Home split you against said, the lowest.
Damian, I blame you. Like you hey, I blame you for bringing
no,
this back up.
Don't blame me, Stephen. That came right out of the soaps right there.
General
All
Hospital?
Of that
no.
Dramatic stuff that Stephen, yeah, you sounded just like Brick just now.
I think right. it sounded like he was quoting scriptures,
it's okay.
darkness
it's okay.
to the light.
It's okay. It's necessary.
I don't know what's happening.
We can move on, Molly, but orange and blue skies, baby. Orange. Matter of fact, Molly, I need you to wear orange because you look good in everything you wear.
Thank
wear
you.
Orange. None of us
Thank
can wear
you.
Orange. And you can wear orange. Orange and blue, baby. Wear orange and blue tomorrow, Molly.
I appreciate the permission to move
orange
on.
Orange and blue.
So can I do that before Let's I lose
go.
My job because I can't moderate this program?
Yes.
I'm coming to you here, Max, because this is a little bit of a pet topic. I know we're all New York, but I want to go back to Carson Wentz. You heard him eating humble pie, back with his former coach. He had his best season in Indianapolis, now a fresh start. Will this be a bounce-back season for Wentz? Because they have a real team there.
No, because bounce-back is not 2019. This is the problem. People move the goalposts with Wentz, and they hallucinate. And they refuse to accept reality. They're living in an alternate set of facts universe. In 2017, Wentz, until he got hurt, was the best player in the NFL. That would be a bounce back. And why not? He's got the same coach or a guy who's on the staff. He's got a great offensive line. He's got a defense. Like, he's got every single thing he needs. No, no. What I'm not trying to hear is, well, he's a starter again. Because would that be a bounce back? After all, he was so bad, he lost his job as a starter. Meaning he's the worst starter in the league. And he lost his job, right? He wasn't one of the 32. No. 2019 drives me crazy. Because, like, I saw in the second half of 2019, look, we all get it right sometimes. We all get it wrong sometimes. You just got to give it up on this one, Stephen A. Wood, whoever wants to dispute this. Just give it up. In 2019... I saw a bad Carson Wentz getting worse and worse and worse in the second half of the season when he was winning these games against a terrible NFC East, an NFC East that every other sad sack quarterback in the division was beating those same teams he was beating, only easier than Carson Wentz was beating them. Turning the ball over late in the game, third down, lucky the team recovered. Didn't know which end was up. He was no good. And then that downward trajectory, I tried to sound the alarm for everyone, continued in 2020 till he lost his job. So I'm not trying to hear, oh, Wentz is as good as he was at the end of 2019. That wasn't a good player. No, no, no. A bounce back year means go back to being Carson Wentz when you were actually a good player. No, I don't see him doing that this year.
Well, listen, Max, I think you're wrong. I will give you credit for this. I think that if there is anyone that could bring back that 2017, it's Frank Wright and the Indianapolis Colts because they have the right infrastructure around Carson Wentz. And we can talk about, you know, his, you know, Carson Wentz psyche and everything that went on with the Philadelphia Eagles, but make no mistake about it. Frank Wright is pressing all the right buttons to build Carson Wentz back up. Yes, we know about the offensive line, the weapons, the defense. He has the personnel around him. But the most important thing that the Indianapolis Colts can do for Carson Wentz is rebuild him from the neck up. That's the process that we see with Carson Wentz right now. If that is the case, if that works, we're going to see Carson Wentz from 2017 because, again, the talent is there. It's all about the psyche with this guy. And if he's all in and his mindset is ready to go, yeah, we'll see that guy again with Indianapolis this year.
Well, first of all, Max Kellerman, a couple of things. Number one, it's not a matter of you being right or wrong. It's that even when you're wrong, we really don't want to hear it, because what you're going to do is you're going to sit up there and bloviate and talk ad nauseum until the cows come home. And then the minute you're wrong, you're going to be oops, and you're going to move on in 3 seconds. You're going to want everybody else. You don't want us to live in the moment of you being, remember, this is the same guy, Damian Woody, that came on national television and said and declared, quote, I am the foremost expert on Tom Brady because I've been wrong with him. I've been wrong about him the previous 3 years. Max, I got to give you credit, Max. I swear, I go home to this day and still laugh at how miraculous of a statement that I've never heard anybody say that. I give that to you, Max. You said you were the expert on Tom Brady because you've been wrong. It was beautiful.
So I said I'm the only one allowed to give him credit is what I said.
I hold on to that to this very day.
It's a beautiful mind.
It's an unreal statement. I give it to you because I've never heard anybody do that. Having said that, let me say this. I have no problem, Max, with you saying the standard is 2017, not 2019. But when I'm speaking about that standard, I got news for you. I'm holding Carson Wentz to that standard as well. And I believe he can pull it off because of what Damian said, Frank Reich, because Jonathan Taylor is your running back, because Pascal and Pittman and T.Y. Hilton, they're your wide receivers, because Frank Reich is your former quarterbacks coach, your former offensive coordinator, who was a part of your best season when you were 11-2 and a leading candidate for league MVP honors before you got hurt. We get all of that. But I got news for you. That same year that Carson Wentz was 11-2, that same year he had thrown for over 3,000 yards, that same year he had thrown for 33 touchdowns and just 7 interceptions, he only completed 60% of his passes. Mm-hmm. The next year, when he was 5-6 after coming back from that injury, he completed 69% of his passes. And Frank Reich was gone then. I believe that Frank Reich, with the personnel he's got surrounded him and that offensive line, which is studdish, okay? When you consider what they bring to the table, he's going to be protected, he's going to have weapons to throw the football to, and he's going to have somebody to run the football in Jonathan Taylor. And a defense that's top 10, just like the offense was top 10. I got news for you. I believe Carson Wentz can resurrect his career. I think Frank Reich can pull it off, and my standard is not 2019. You're right, Max. It will be 2017.
I'm glad you said that. I'm going to hold you to that because I think a lot of people are going to start shifting it. Well, he's starting again. Okay, I'll say this. I'm glad you also pointed out the numbers in 2018, because in that 18 season, they were dead in the water. They were uninspired. He wasn't leading them to wins. Foles came in, replaced him. They caught fire, went to the playoffs, won a playoff game at Soldier Field on the road, almost beat him in New Orleans, almost won in New Orleans, right? So it's not just Carson Wentz's production. It's also the team's performance. That's what he did in 17. A bounce back year to me would mean that.
Hey, Max, real quick before Damian closes this out. Carson Wentz, they said, according to the people you spoke to, Max, that he was somebody that was audibling at the line of scrimmage, wasn't listening to the plays, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously, Doug Peterson and those boys wanted him up out of there because his confidence is shot. He wasn't listening. Clearly, he didn't have enough faith in him. We didn't hear that when he was with Frank Reich, number that's one. Right. And number two, the point that's proven about that is the fact that even after Carson Wentz is gone, Doug Peterson departed as well. So that tells us there was something about Doug Peterson as well, not just Carson Wentz. And I don't think that's going to be an issue with Frank Reich.
All right.
And bottom line, AFC South, there's not a lot of resistance from the other teams, maybe outside of Tennessee. In that division. So Indianapolis could cruise in that division.
Absolutely.
All set up for them. No excuses.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person.
And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, Stephen A., do you like the reception for former Niners DC turned Jets head coach Robert Saleh?
I love it. He's earned it, number one, because he was an outstanding defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, and he's a new ray of hope for the New York Jets franchise. With him in town, you expect them to be significantly better than they are. Thank God we've gone beyond the Adam Gase era, so the city is rooting for him. He deserved those cheers.
All right, let's keep it rolling with the quick takes. Max, Jalen Smith changes his number to number 9. He spent $500,000 to buy up his old jerseys. Would you spend that much for a number
2? Hell no. Jalen, what are you doing? The money-making years, the prime years of an athlete is not that long, especially in the NFL. $500,000 post-tax dollars to change your number, which does not make a difference? Hell no.
Not going to be able to do it.
Hell no. Matter of fact, I would want my money. I'd take 75 cents on the dollar back and give him back his old number.
All right, Stephen A., what do you think about NBA coaches no longer suited and booted since the bubble? They're just rocking zip-ups and some solid dad bods.
It depends on the coach. With Pat Riley, Chuck Daly, Larry Brown, dudes like that, nothing less than an Armani or Tom Ford or Brioni suit will do. In the case of the Tom Thibodeaux of the world, the Andy Reid's of the world, people like that, we'll go with the zip-ups. We understand.
I'm taking Tom Ford other than Tom Thibodeaux.
I like when a man dresses up. That's just me. All right, speaking of the NBA, carry on.
The Washington Wizards is going to win the game tonight because of Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. This dynamic backcourt, they have the confidence. They played them close in game one. They see that they could beat them. I don't know if Tobias Harris could go for 37 again. I got the Washington Wizards winning this game tonight in good fashion. Carry on.
The Wizards are not winning tonight. They might they win game 3 or 4, but they ain't winning tonight. And so expect a text from me, if not a text, a tweet from me, Kendrick Perkins, this evening, saying to you, what the hell you mean carry on? You carry on, because it ain't happening.
My grandpa always told me, when two men or three men disagree, the next word is bet, okay? Bet, and we'll talk about that later.
Hold on. I'll bet you on that, my brother. A matter of fact, remember how I told you I would take you to get some shirts because I need you with some new shirts? Remember I told you that?
Yeah.
Okay, fashion.
Are you ready for this?
I'll throw in a blazer. Throwing in a blazer. Sorry, Perk. The Wizards didn't get the J-O-B done last night. A 25-point romping by the Sixers, who now take a 2-0 lead as the series heads to the nation's capital. And you thought Stephen A. was going to let that little bet slide. You were wrong, my friend, Perk. I did want you to win. I'd always root for you over Stephen A., but this guy always bringing the receipts. Tweeting this, like he promised, I believe I told you, Kendrick Perkins, that the Sixers would win tonight's game and that I've won that bet, too. And as you would say, carry on with a big smiley face, Stephen A. style, Cheshire grin. Keep in mind, Russ did tweak his ankle with 10 minutes to go. Perk, talk to me. What went wrong for the Wizards?
Well, Molly, first of all, I'm going to honor my bet. And you know what? And I'm going to buy him whatever he want to get for a suit-wise. When I get to New York, take me to wherever you go, and I'm going to be a man of my word. But look, here's the thing, right? Watching the game last night, it's just that the Wizards just don't have the personnel, okay? They just don't have the personnel to match up with the 76ers. The 76ers held them to 15 points in the fourth quarter, and that's the whole problem. And Ben Simmons, I don't know the last time he went for 20-plus. He had 22 last night. And by the way, let me say this. Where in the hell is Bertans? Okay, didn't they just pay this man 4-5 year, $80 plus million, and he has one job, one job, and that's to shoot the damn basketball. You know what he finished with last night? A goose egg. 0 points. He was non-existent. He got paid $80 million to have a goose egg. He has one damn job, and that's to shoot the damn basketball. And to be honest, I'm sitting up here watching, and I love Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. I love what they have done to get them to the playoffs. But I honestly don't see them winning the game because this Sixers team is really deep. Their subs, Maxey, he's a young stud and a rookie. Tybos put on a defensive clinic last night. So I just don't know if they will even win a game in this series due to the lack of personnel. Now, let me say this to Stephen A. and Max. This also should tell y'all how good Russell Westbrook really is. Because looking at the personnel that's around him and what he had to do to win to get them to this point, I don't know no other player that could have won with this type of personnel. I mean, you got Bradley Beal, but that's about it.
Couple of things that I want to just get off my chest. Number one, you're absolutely right about Bertans. He was non-existent, a donut, a zero. I mean, my God, good Lord have mercy. That was bad. Number two, Thibault. He's going to make second team all defensive NBA. This dude's sensational. In 20 minutes, he did the things that he did on the defensive end of the floor in terms of steals and things of that nature. He is a special, special defensive player. Number three, I believe all the things that you pointed out, Kendrick Perkins, are things that I told you before you made that bet, and you still made it. So before I tell you what your pay up is going to be, because it's not going to be buying me something, I'm going to let you keep your money in your pocket. I know you got a big-time contract now. I know you big-time. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to the family on a permanent, long-term basis. It's well-deserved. I'm honored and privileged to have you, big boy. No doubt about it. But I'm not going to take money out your pocket. I got something better for you in terms of how you lost this bet. But before I get to that, let me address the whole Russell Westbrook thing. Russell Westbrook got hurt in the fourth quarter. He was shooting 2-for-10 at the time from the field. And I remember correctly, specifically stating, come playoff time, defenses get back, and the lack of a consistent perimeter shot will cost you. The dude is sensational. He's an incredible athlete. He's a Hall of Famer. We know what a difference maker he is. But you got to be able to make perimeter shots, because if you don't, it's going to be tougher for you to make the kind of difference he's capable of making, okay? That's respectfully stated. Now to the bet with Kendrick Perkins. I don't want your money, bro. I don't want you to take me to the clothing store, boy. Here's what I want you to do, Big Perk. Now that we've been all vaccinated and you're going to have people coming back to studio, when you come into our New York studios, you're going to spend that morning until that afternoon. You will do what I say. If I want breakfast, you're going to go get it. If I want a salad, you're going to go get it. If I got research paper down the hallway,
I go get him the suit.
You're going to go pick it up, okay? If I got words to express to some of the producers, you're going to run down the hallway to do it. You're going to run errands for me for that entire day. That's the bet, because you didn't ask me what my conditions were. I told you, and you wanted the jacket, but you didn't ask me. When you come to New York, if I want you to do something for Max, if I want you to do something for Molly, if I want you to run down the hallway for a producer, if I want my bagel, if I want my salad, if I want my turkey and cheese, you're gonna go get it. Big Perk. That's the bet you lost. Carry on.
The whole story of the game last night, other than the real story, was your bet. But the other story is the Sixers' defense, y'all. Like, I've been talking about Thibault every time the Sixers come up, because I think Simmons probably the best defender in the league. I think Embiid is top five. Thibault's already top 10. He's 18 months away from being the best defensive player in basketball. You know, last night, four steals and five blocks, or five steals and four blocks. He's one of only 10 players to do it in the history of basketball. And the other dudes are like Hakeem and Pippen and Kawhi and Draymond and Ben Wallace. He did it in 20 minutes. But look at this sequence. There's a sequence from late in the third quarter, a shot clock violation. The Sixers' defense is next level. Their offense is pretty good and could be better. right? That, like, they have the potential to be better offensively than they are. But the defense? Think of what I just said. Ben Simmons, I think he's number one defensive player in the league. Embiid, top five. Thibault, top 10, and probably the most special dude on defense. Danny Green can still defend. Tobias Harris had his best defensive season because he's got Embiid back there as an eraser. The Sixers' defense is special.
Max,
and that side of the bracket, they're going to be in the conference finals.
Thibault, I read it somewhere last night. Thibault is the first player in NBA history with four steals and five blocks in 20 or fewer minutes of any game, regular season or postseason, in NBA history.
Hey, Perk, real quick, before you jump in here, and I'll give you the last word here on the bet, I just want to say one thing. I will, Stephen A., this is also for you. I will offer my services. I have my phone right here, and I will film Perk as your errand boy and follow him around the entire day, and I will stream it from First Take Instagram Live. So I'm available to do that. I did go to school, and I will be the camera woman. I want to do that for you, Stephen A.
Perk, buy him the suit, Perk.
And
it's better.
Perk, I will be with you, okay? Just call me your shadow.
Yeah, and you know what? You know what? As much as I hate to do this, I have to honor the bet. And the problem is, the last time I ran errands was in 2004 when I was ironing Gary Payton's clothes, his Dickie suits. And now I got to be here, 36 years old, married with four kids, running around New York City, running errands for Stephen A., Molly, and Max. I'll be damned.
Yeah. It's going to be great. And I'm going to be your plus one camera
woman. It's all in the area.
We're going to capture it all.
It's all in a three-block radius. Everything's in a three-block radius.